Welcome to Spirit Talk
with Syl and Jay.
Welcome back. I'm Jay.
I'm Syl.
And this is Spirit Talk.
All right. So today we're going to talk about experiences.
Things
of that nature, and we're just going to go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like a free flow show.
Yeah. Free for all kind of thing. Anything goes.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You know, psychic abilities, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Can you start us out with something that you can tell us about?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm going to kind of do like what you call, I guess, reverse psychology. So I'm going to ask you the question and ask what kind of experiences have you experienced throughout your lifetime as far as encounters with spirit?
So the one thing that I could think of is the other day I smelt something that was not even in the room. Nothing was going on. And I couldn't put my finger on it, and I had to actually Google it because I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And basically, it's kind of like a foul smelling, almost like rotten eggs kind of, but you know, and it's like, hey, did you fart? You didn't, and I didn't, and the kitties didn't. You know, it's like, what in the world? Why am I still smelling it? And it's basically, there is the entity that's present, and it's not a good one, obviously, bad smell and all this stuff. So it's all about, you know, getting to know your smells, so your different smells. Now, there are times when you smelt your mom's perfume or something of that nature. And that's also, you know, that she was present.
And we also cleanse quite often using incense and prayer and stones and crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our highly intuitive cats now too. So,
oh, yeah.
But like chills and stuff like that, like going back to my mother, I can distinguish my mom because she was a heavy smoker and she would lather up on perfume before she went to work. Mm-hmm. So it was a combination of like a smoky perfume smell. For some it's chills too. Like I get a lot of chills, and for me, chills is confirmation and also lets me know that, you know, spirit is around. Mm-hmm. And
it depends on what you're thinking of at the time and why you got the chills. You kind of have to put two and two together.
Yeah, and you'll hear me say it quite often. That's when you play the detective and ask the questions. So, but yeah, there's so many different ways. Same thing with temperatures and light flickerings and things movement. And just because when we move from the physical world, when we go into the spirit world, we don't stop learning. And they go to school and they have classes too to also learn how to communicate with us down here. And as far as like being able to, like, some of them have the power of manipulating things to move. Like my daughter is very good at that. If she usually, if she doesn't like somebody or something, she'll create havoc in her lives as far as like tipping something over, making something fall. And I know that's my daughter and that's her kind of humor. Mm-hmm. But I know it's her. So for chills, again, you know, it goes back to, for me, it's confirmation. And I know usually when I have clients and I sit down and I'm meeting them, not only do I do my half-hour meditation, but I always let people know, you know, first of all, can you put your cell phone on airplane mode or turn it off? Because spirit likes to connect through electronics as well as different smells. So for me, when you do readings and stuff, try to make sure all your clairs are clear. And I get clear sense. So smell comes to me really easily. And I'll usually ask the client, please, when you come to see me, not to wear like perfume or cologne, because I don't want to, you know, get spirit and you confused and mixed up. So,
yeah, and that's definitely, it's when you're getting a reading in person, definitely you want to stay away from heavy perfumes or that nature.
Now, I'm not a big fan. Some people I've encountered, you know, people asking, you know, can I record this? I preferably do not like to be recorded, simply because it also feels like I have eyes on me, extra eyes, as well as the
it's
feeling
like
of
being on stage.
Yeah, and spirit likes to, again, create havoc, some of them. It depends on people's attachments, what they bring with them and stuff like that, too. So it's important to be extremely protected by wearing, you know, your different jewelry and carrying your stones and crystals in your pocket, things of that nature. So
yeah, I have some hanging up in my car. You know, it's all for protection. We have bracelets and stuff like that. Those are all great. And there are some crystals that are really good for communicating with the divine. So it actually enhances any communication, especially if you're starting to really get to know your numbers, your signs and stuff like that. The more you know, the more you're going to see it.
And that brings up a good point, too. Before I started taking psychic development classes and stuff, I was very ignorant, very closed-minded to some things. But I was particularly, I trusted my intuition. But since taking psychic development classes, it has opened me up. And the more awakened you become and the more open-minded you become, the more things come in clear and you start receiving your answers. And that's a good thing to pay attention to, is, you know, signs and synchronicities as well, because the more you see happen, the more they will come, you know, and the more you're aware of them and pay attention.
Now, there are numbers that, for instance, you see 1111. Now, it depends on what you're thinking of at the time. You know, that relates to that, because there are different meanings of it. Most of it is very similar, but if you're thinking of something and a sign comes to you, there's certain meaning to that while you were thinking of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something, you know, like I would trust somebody particularly that deals with numerology and things of that nature. I know, and what I've been taught and learned is that 1111 is the highest spiritual number. It represents that your spirit guides and your loved ones are with you, and that you're on your path, and that you're being supported in your desires, your manifestations and stuff. So it's a good sign. A lot of people tend to wish on that.
And for manifestation.
And I've heard of, you know, colleagues and stuff that has used numerology with their previous professions to be able to solve or resolve things with using that. So it's quite interesting, the power of our numbers.
Yeah, it's like I said, the more you know about it, the more you're going to see it. It's just they're constant in your face, whether you're driving or you're looking at the clock at the right time. So yeah, I mean, there's another one too, a sudden feeling of something, whether it's a you get this sudden feeling of joy or
like
sudden
a
feeling,
like a pull or urge.
Yeah, whether it's like this excitement, this something great, or it could be completely the opposite, that you went downhill real fast. Or you got to be careful with that.
Right, or it's your body's way of saying, you know, this isn't good, we need to leave the situation or not even pertain to it or go around it.
Depends on the situation.
It's all about, too, trusting your body and listening and paying attention to your signs and the things that you're receiving, too, and how you feel around certain people, places, and things. So,
absolutely. Now, a couple of other things I want to talk about is, you know, as far as success, living, just really nature. Like nature, you know, natural remedies, you know, living off the grid, stuff like that. There are a lot of things nowadays that are kind of hushed because it's such a simple thing to do and to have. That could help you in need of healing, whether it's herbs or something simple.
So more along the lines of like essential oils.
Absolutely. But essential oils, herbs, any type of, there's so many things out there. But nature has everything we need, everything. So it's crucial that we look into it. Because all the pills that you get, they all have side effects. And guess what? Then you're taking another pill with that has another side effects because of the side effect of the other one. So it could be, you know, on and on and on. And
one of the things that I pay attention to is not only the feelings and the impressions that I get, but also after I hear it for, like, confirmation. Like, so I've been getting the feeling of, like, you know, what if stuff was, like, shipped all from, like, a different country? You know, and then I hear about how stuff has been or is or in the process of, and, you know, it could be hazardous, more hazardous, mm-hmm. because it ships from somewhere else when we can have it right here in our own backyard instead of going out.
Yeah, there's so many things we can grow ourselves, and we have here ourselves. It's important that we look into that and teach our kids all those things in school, or you can teach them yourself. You know, it's important for our generation and the next generation to know these things.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many times that I've watched a video and I see something man-made, like a steak is being 3D printed. Rice is being replaced by who knows what's in there, plastic or of some sort. And we're injecting these things that are not even real.
I just read or heard something about bottled water and how the mm-hmm. plastics, the water or the chemical of the plastic is affecting the water that you drink. So, and that's something that kind of saddened me too, is now that we have to pay for water, you know, mm-hmm. and this is all like natural stuff that was given to us by the mm-hmm. creator
mm-hmm.
and we're selling it to make profit and money and greed off of. And this is something that really bothers me about this kind of
stuff. And there's so much stuff that's added to it, you know, mm-hmm. salt, sulfate, of all kinds of stuff that's added to it for taste. But in reality, some of these things that are added don't even need to be added. And they don't do anything.
And they're more harmful than they are good.
Exactly. Absolutely. And not to mention, if you have a bottled water and you don't know if you pick that up, that where it's been in the hot or cold, extreme cold or extreme hot, and then it goes back to room temperature, doesn't mean it's now back to normal.
No, it's like percolating some kind of bacteria or something. You never know, so.
You're leaving it out in your car. Mm-hmm. You should never leave anything out in your car. Anything that has moisture in it is very bad for you to, you know, leave in the car and then drink it or eat it.
Or anything that they have to make fat-free or whatever else. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about the extra chemicals that they put in it that have to make it that mm-hmm. way, you know. So it's just questions upon questions. And one thing is healthy one minute and the next thing it's mm-hmm. not, you know. So I feel like, you know, live on, you know.
Well, do the best you can. Definitely do what you can to make things easy for you, but also healthier.
It's just kind, you know, kind of like me. I started smoking at the age of 14 years old, you know, and I still smoke. So that's why you hear sometimes me coughing in the background and whatnot. But anyway, it's something, one of those things that plays in the back of my mind. Well, if I stop now, how's it going to affect me? How's it going to shock my system? And you hear of people that have lived in their 90s or hundreds or whatever, and they still have, you know, a shot of whiskey or they only take aspirin or something like that, but they continue to do what they feel what works best for them, and they've lived all these years living their life, you know. So I'm not encouraging smoking and anything of that nature.
It's almost like questioning everything, mm-hmm. basically.
Yes.
You're questioning, how is this going to affect us, my body, my mm-hmm. thinking, my well-being.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What else we got on that list today to talk about?
Well,
some experiences.
Going into, for instance, you know, rocks, crystals. You know, I don't know if anybody's even using them that are on the show, but, you know, if you're listening to us, you know, it's a great thing to have, and I'd look into, you know, anything that could help you and protect you and your family.
Mm-hmm. There's many different things of theories and ways of going about cleansing and clearing your home. And you know, one of them is I've heard of people, you know, taking salt. I don't know if it's sea salt or what kind of salt it is, but they make a border around their home to protect it. Some people, and I have done this myself, I've put like turbaline or whatever, a little stones above mm-hmm. each, you know, like mm-hmm. doors and windowsills and things of that nature. So any kind of entrances?
Yeah, actually salt deters, I think it deters ants and bugs and stuff like that too. So it's always nice. So mm-hmm. if you're going to go around your house, it's good to do.
And then you throw in a couple cats and you're just well off protected, you know.
Yeah, they'll attack anything. They might play with it, but.
Still make friends.
Well, at least you know where it is. Hey, what's this? But yeah, I mean, there are so many things that could help you. You know, just listening to music can be really helpful.
Well, we were just watching a video the other day about vitamin D, weren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, vitamin D. Depends on what kind of vitamin D. Man-made is definitely not good for you. So definitely look that up. If you're taking vitamin D, take the right type. Being outdoors in the sun is crucial for us. Crucial. I wish we had a little bit more here, up here in New England, but.
Well, it's kind of like a catch-22, right? Due to temperatures and things of that nature. Because if you think about it, during the wintertime, the flus and stuff, especially up here northeast and down south, they don't really get that much because of the climate and the temperatures and stuff. So that plays a big role too. So, but
Changes the
there's always
seasons.
too much of something too, or too less of
Yes.
something. So it's just kind of finding that happy medium of
Yeah.
vitamin D as
I
well.
personally love anything that has to do with tropical places or not even, that much, just, so there's no snow and ice. That's pretty much what I crave. I just don't like the ice and the cold, cold weather.
Yeah, some people love the all seasons too,
Yeah.
but I'm for one that would not miss, definitely the cold and the snow. That's me personally. But
Absolutely. I mean, I was born in Hungary and, they have all the seasons, snow, all that stuff. You got warm. I mean, I think my mom was telling me the other day it was like 100 degrees over there. It's like, so they do get the same kind of stuff. We get, sometimes we get some days that are on like 100 degrees. Not many, but mostly 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I believe it all depends on too on how close you live to the equator, because I've heard too the closer you live to that, the hotter it is. So,
Oh gosh, yeah. Like Florida. I lived in Florida for a year and I don't ever want to go back to live there. I think it's just way too much for me.
for humidity and
Humidity and the hot. Like I like seasons. I do like seasons. I just don't like the extreme cold, but that's what I don't like. I even like snow sometimes. It's nice. It's just when you're driving and it's not so nice, but Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year.
So we were talking a little bit too earlier about, I'm really contemplating on writing another book, and this one is going to be more in depth. The other one just touched the surfaces. It didn't, really bring a reader into it and really feel the in-depth of what I went through and stuff like that. So, and that was part of the purpose of not only this book being therapeutic for me, but it was also a way of reaching out to others and letting them know, hey, you're not alone. I've been through some crap myself too, and this is very therapeutic to either write it down, publish your book. You don't even have to publish it, just to write it and just get it on paper or whatever, just out, and one of the things I want to talk about a little bit today, I guess too, is some of our experiences that we've had too, and that's like being younger and having our sixth senses heightened.
Do you have an example?
The only one and I talked about it, through my book and stuff, is when I was little, probably between the ages, and as far as I can remember, between 3 and 4 years old is when I first started seeing spirit, but it wasn't actually a spirit. I don't know, even know what to call it. It was like an entity, or something. And it reminded me of the Tom and Jerry show where,
With the fangs.
yeah, I believe it was Tom the cat. Yeah,
Yes.
Tom's a cat.
Turned into that
Turn into a,
fangy, kind
yeah,
of
very
angry.
mean-looking evil thing with fangs. And this is how this thing presented itself to me. And so that's where I started to really pick up like mediumship and seeing spirit. That was the only one that I saw that I'm aware of up until I was about 10 years old. And it was just more of like I'm an extreme empath. So I mostly sense and I pick up things around me like a sponge and I absorb it. And I just sensed some stuff going on and paid attention to it. And like we were talking about how you were just drawn and compelled to do something. That's how I was too. Like I remember being in, I think it was 5 years old, and I was in kindergarten, and I just sensed something was going on at home, and I just need to get home. So I left the school, not even caring about whatever, whoever would think. And then all of a sudden, I was brought back by the principal or teacher. I don't know, but I was compelled to go home. I felt something was going on.
You knew something was going on. You just
Yeah.
knew it.
Yeah.
And there
So.
was. Yep, absolutely.
But then in first grade, I was a space cadet. Mm-hmm. You know, I was traumatized. I was extremely, I'm still to this day, you know, have a lot of anxieties, panic attacks, not so bad today as they were when I was younger. But I was out in my own world and focused. And it kind of goes with manifestation. Mm-hmm. Like I can remember before rocking chair, I used to rock myself in bed and hold my one hand behind me and just rock in bed. And then it became the rocking chair. And I remember during these times, that's when I would really put my thought into something. And it seemed like it would happen. And I remember, you know, throughout lifetime, Mom would say to me, you know, Jay, if you put your mind to something, it'll happen. Or she knew how wild my imagination was, mm-hmm. and kind of encouraged it. And which I loved about my mom. You know, she allowed me to be me. Mm-hmm. And she saw the, I guess, potential or the...
Well, she had some potential, abilities. Too, and she probably saw that in you as well.
Yeah, so later on when I took the classes, that's when I really realized a lot of things, and a lot of things came together for me, because some things I didn't understand, mm-hmm. why they happened or what was taking place before I started taking classes. Mm-hmm. And then it all kind of came together like a puzzle. So that was one of the things, too. I feel like on my mother's side, mm-hmm. that line is extremely spiritual, mm-hmm. and very into those kinds of abilities, whether it be a healer, psychic, mm-hmm. medium, witch, something like that. But I feel like we're all light workers in one way or another, and it goes deep on that side.
Absolutely. Some have more abilities than others, but some don't even know they have abilities. Mm-hmm. I know that some kids, maybe not all, can see spirits and entities and of that nature. Mm-hmm. I know that when my father was passing, my cousin's daughter saw him, and it was something, I don't know all the details, but it's almost like, you know, he visited them, and that was it. But I don't even think he passed yet. Mm-hmm. It was almost like he visited them right before he passed. But even afterwards too, this happens. And my brother's daughter actually saw my father while my mom was visiting them. Mm-hmm. And she said that, oh, he's right here. And then my mom was in the other room, and he left the room to go see her. And these things, kids don't just make up out of thin air. And sure enough, you know, it was there's certain things that they just sense and they know because they're little.
And that's one of the things that, you know, I feel like I'm compelled to do. Mm-hmm. Like part of my purpose in this lifetime is to become an advocate or a mentor or something, mm-hmm. in some way or another, to help people to come out of their shell and not feel like they have to stuff it or shunned, mm-hmm. you know. And that's part of the sadness in my generation, our generation, is that we were shunned and we had to keep it quiet and low profile and couldn't talk about it only to certain people, because otherwise, you know, there was places for so-called people like that. And now I feel like I'm liberated. I can actually speak about it, and I don't feel like I have to shell up so much, you know. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
I remember this one particular time. It was pretty cool. It was right before I did a gallery, and it was 2 weeks before I had to do it. And there was this woman in the audience. She was part of the production crew or whatever. And I kept getting like a very strong sense. I'm like, did you used to have a playmate? And she was a little girl. And she goes, yeah. I'm like, well, she's here now. And I remember telling her, and it brought me back to being a kid myself. You know, like, it was so cool to be able to bring that forward to somebody and have them confirm it and let them know, you know, listen, you know. And she even came back with, you know, yeah, I've been recently talking with her again and things of that nature. And I'm like, wow, you know, so everything kind of happens for reasons. And I think the biggest problem is we get in our own ways, mm-hmm. and we stop ourselves from our own abilities and things. And that's something that
unbelief as well.
Yes. And that's something that I've always tried to help is see the talent in somebody and try to encourage them in that way. Mm-hmm. And So we'll get into this too, because I started studying, you know, zodiac signs at the age of 15. So I'm a Taurus, and part of the Taurus is part of the cons, I should say, of a Taurus is we can become not only stubborn but dogmatic. And I feel, and I chalk that up too, is because we care a lot, and we want to see the best because we're all about the best. We want to see the best for someone in their life, and so sometimes it comes off a little harder than we want it to, and we don't really mean it, but it's like we don't want to see it happen to them, you know, and we're like trying to be their savior and stop them. But at the same time, it gets to a point in life where you've got to allow people to experience their pattern or their pathway, you know, and
learn,
make mistakes. And
they gotta learn their own way too.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I have some of that in me too. I could be that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
I might seem pushy, but it's really not meant to be pushy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely have that as well. And it's almost like a know-it-all, but I don't know it all. But what I do know, and I feel that I can share with others, I can help them, but it comes off differently. So,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it all goes back to the right people will hear you and see mm-hmm. you, you know, and
that's... Actually, you know, I just thought about another time, and this was when my father was actually sick, but hasn't passed yet. It's that last year, and he has started seeing his parents pass by the window. Also, he felt that his son, my brother, was there next to him. Now, meanwhile, he's in Hungary, so it's an ocean away. But he just felt that he was there. So I don't know if because he was thinking of him and they were thinking of each other. I don't know how that works, but he
telepathically
said he was there. Yep.
And from the feeling and sense that I'm getting from what you just described of your dad seeing his parents, was that they were preparing a place mm-hmm. for him.
Absolutely. I do believe that. He probably saw more than he said also mm-hmm. because of the unbelief of some people that he might, because, you know, sometimes you don't know how to say it without getting shut down
mm-hmm.
or put down, like, oh no, that's not true.
That's why I go in a trance.
Yeah, the trances that you've been, you know, that's been traumatic for you. You become somebody else.
We'll get to that in a second, but I want to bring up really quick the last time you spoke to your mom, mm-hmm. and I don't understand a lick of Hungarian that you guys speak, but I know some words, like a couple of them that you taught me. But I remember giving your mom the message the last time.
Yeah.
And
the
some
name.
Of the, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was...
That was kind of an aha moment, because this person that has passed at a younger age, you know, he wasn't older, he passed at an early age. I think he was working, so he was up there already in his probably 20s. I'm not sure. But it was someone that I know through memories, but not many. But my mom, I know the name because it was a nickname. And when I said that, my mom, her eyes lit up like, yeah, that's so-and-so. And you got the confirmation. And yes, they said it was that person.
It was not only that, but it was a strong feeling like your dad was pushing me to give
yeah.
this message and wanted to give me something memorable
yep.
that you guys would only know
mm-hmm.
and the word, the Hungarian word
mm-hmm.
that came through me, and I even wrote it down for you how it was spelled or how
mm-hmm.
I was seeing it spelled or whatever, and that made sense. You guys figured it out. I'm like, wow.
Absolutely.
that's pretty amazing. And I was very happy to give that message to your mom
mm-hmm.
and so that was heartwarming.
Absolutely.
Now, going into a trance, this is always something that I've been wanting to do ever since I started doing this about 10 years ago professionally and taking my classes. I was really intrigued by the book called Nothing So Strange, and it's by a trance medium, Arthur Ford, who was possessed by a man named Fletcher. And Fletcher came out in him when he was in his trance, and Arthur Ford is the one who broke Houdini's code, because Houdini was back in that day out to make mediums and psychics fraudulent and wanted to prove them wrong and that they were, you know, frauds. So Arthur came through and broke the code and figured it out and stuff like this, as well as other things that he had done as well that he was known for. So going into a trance, it starts off with, kind of brings me back to a child and going through anxiety and panic attacks. And that's how it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm in front of an audience, you know, a lot of eyes on me, and this guy's shaking his head no. And as soon as I get like a no, it's funny because it's like, now I want to keep digging, you know, and I'm determined now. But the last couple of times I've done kind of events like this, I've went into a trance. And it's hard to explain. It's like I'm fogged over, and I'm very energy drained at the end. I don't know what was said. I know bits and pieces. That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was said to who and to what and everything, but I get the confirmations at the end. And I love doing that because then I get kind of confirmation. And the more I can work with, it's called a controlee or a controller, mm-hmm. the one who's taken over, you know, and get more comfortable with him and establish a relationship with these folks that are taking over my body during the time, the easier it's going to flow and get. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Because right now it's at the beginning stages where it's like, okay, I'm not exactly sure 100% like what to expect. All of a sudden I know I just need to get away from the situation for a minute, catch my breath, and then come back. Mm-hmm. And it's like a slow kind of awakening thing. It's like again, I've been fogged over. I'm just waking out of a dream. That's how it feels. And I just trust whoever's coming through me, mm-hmm. that it's for the higher good. Mm-hmm. And
You ask for it before I even start a show
like this, because I know that that's where or a point that I'm going to get to.
You want the highest vibration to come through, mm-hmm. and that's how you know. But you're hoping that the answers will come to the audience that mm-hmm. is there.
And the thing is perseverance and patience, mm-hmm. and practice, you know, and just trust, you mm-hmm. know.
Absolutely. So that concludes our segment for today.
Wow. Already that went by quick. I know.
It did. 32 minutes.
Wow. I think it's time for a treat. I know I'm digging for some chocolate now.
Chocolate.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You're depleted.
And you made this out of this world meatloaf the other day, too, with some mozzarella cheese in it. Oh, my gosh. You know, that's the die for. I know.
Yeah, there's leftovers. For some reason, I made too much.
I know I'm a light worker, and a lot of people don't eat meat because of the blood and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know that, guys. I know. Yeah, but we all have mm-hmm. our own.
I'm ready. Gotta enjoy food.
Mm-hmm.
God created.
All right, guys. Well, that completes this segment, and
see you guys next time.
Absolutely. Have a good one. And that concludes today's segment on Spirit Talk. I'm Jay.
And I'm Sue.